Welcome to Forever Toros, a brand new podcast from the Product Spurs Network.
It's kind of like a reincarnation thing, without that sounding a little creepy, but we used to have the Spurs on Six podcast. We used to have the, like, whatever it was before Spurs on Six. Like John Diaz, who's with me tonight, as well as Jonas Clark. John and I have gone through probably about four different website changes.
At least four.
Yeah, and now I guess we'll podcast. Here's what we want to get back on and kick this thing off. We had come up with this. Well, actually, I all credits to John on Forever Toros, because and really, I think aside from having the name, this is kind of like a plea, like, please change the name back. Like, yeah. The Austin Spurs thing is so, it's so confusing. And so, you know, we had gotten this all set up and everything, and it was like Forever Toros got the best album art, which you should be seeing on your podcast player right now. Gabby did, and so. We were all set up, and then we couldn't do it. So now we're actually kicking it off, and there's some, I think, exciting times right now with the Austin Club, especially with so many rookies up there. So we're going to get up here and talk a little bit about this team, especially as we get close to the playoffs, especially as we see more of these guys come up to San Antonio. So but let me go back to, I guess, introductions. John Diaz has been part of whatever you would call this thing. Every other name, like, probably since the beginning.
Yeah. It's good. I'm glad to finally, because this has been, what, a year and a half in the making? And then yeah. I couldn't do it because of job reasons. They wouldn't let me continue Forever Toros. So it was just, our baby was sitting out there. Like, I had Gabby create the logo design off of something I was thinking about at 3 a.m. and it never came to fruition. So I'm glad that we're finally doing it. And I think it's a good time. It's a good time that we're finally in a good space, because especially Austin was bad last year, and they're actually pretty decent this year with all these rooks. So it should be fun. Yeah.
And so we also have one of the new writers to the Product Spurs Network, and that's Jonas Clark. You probably heard his name before, because he was basically like Chris Duhl's right-hand man for a while, and he's done a lot of stuff with Joe Garcia as well. He's on our Spurs Takeover show. Jonas, how's everything with you tonight?
It's going all right, man. You know, a little bit disappointed after last night's game slipped away from our fingers, but we'll get into that later. And really excited for this evening. You know, what San Antonio's game means in terms of, I believe this is Luka's first call up. And so you hopefully, you know, I think a lot of Spurs Nation out there is hoping for some Luka on Luka action with LaMarcus Aldridge out for the evening, and I know that's on the dock for later on as well.
Yeah, so Jim's kind of set the table a little bit for us there. But before we get into the game with the Sky Force and talk about, I guess, some of the younger players and, you know, what's coming up tonight, let's talk about the guy that everybody is so excited about right now. You know, a lot of people on Lexford's Twitter have been wanting this guy to, like, be on the team, like, since, you know, the start of the season, and have really wanted to see him get some minutes with the big club. And that's Keldon Johnson, I was unaware of this, but apparently he has the nickname of, like, Big Body, which is it seems like the weirdest nickname to me ever. So Keldon Johnson, he came up, he played with the team the Atlanta for against Oklahoma City to close out the road trip. Spurs did not do very well, but Keldon actually had a pretty good game. You know, he had limited minutes. He was 9 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists in 13 minutes. And what I saw was, you know, a lot of nice aggression. It was like kind of like controlled aggression. And that's one of the things that I've liked seeing from him. It's not just one of those, like, guys that's just getting his athleticism. He seems to be making some of the smart plays. It's kind of what we've seen. Before. John, what did you like out of his first performance with the, or I guess, like, really, I mean, he's played before, but I think he had, like, 4 points in like 5 games maybe with the San Antonio Spurs so far. What did you like from that game?
Yeah, you know, he's got a lot more body control than I expected for someone who's 19. Because a big issue with DeJounte still and with Lonnie at times is these guys are so young and athletic and have so much energy. and they get so amped up to come into an NBA game that they kind of get reckless with the ball. And Keldon shows flashes of that, especially in the G League game when he's pressing a little too hard. But the fact that he was able to get under control and find his buckets and that he can score from multiple spots, I know he's not the greatest three-point shooter yet or anything, but it's a lot more developed than I would have expected, especially for someone drafted where he was coming out of Kentucky with just so little under his belt. And it goes to show that, you know, some of these guys, I know the other non-weird nickname that he had in summer league was Baby Russ. And he does have like a little bit of like that Russell Westbrook type of aggression when he plays, but not where it's a detriment to the team. So I was impressed. And, you know, of course it's garbage time. OKC didn't really have anyone out there of note, but it's just good to see. It's something to get his feet wet. And I know the San Antonio Express News had hinted on their Spurs Insider podcast we'd probably be seeing a lot more Keldon moving forward, especially if the Spurs record gets out of hand. So it's a good way to just get some of those jitters out of the way, and hopefully we see a lot more production out of him in the future, especially in a more closer game setting, I would say.
Yeah, our friend Carl Schoening, who broadcasts the games, is really high on Keldon. And it's hard to, like, you kind of have to temper things a little, because when I think John and I both have gotten in the line for, like, Bryce Cotton tattoos at some point in the last couple of years. So it's easy to get excited about some of these guys, especially when you see them in the Austin Spurs game and they're beating, you know, these teams on, like, just athleticism, talent alone. You see him in there and he's just, like, you know, he's making shots. He has no business making, or he's just, you know, getting into the lane very easily. But what I liked about his game is he seems very patient, because, and people are going to hate me for this comparison, but he kind of reminded me a little bit of Kyle Anderson, especially in the last game, because he's got the athleticism, he's got the speed, but he doesn't feel like he has to use it all the time. Sometimes he's just taking the right angles to the basket. And that's what I've been impressed with. Jonas, you've seen a lot more of him. And then, you know, we're talking about his three-point shooting. And then the last game, he seemed to me like making all of his threes. What have you seen there and overall as far as growth from, you know, the start of season to now?
You know, he's really kind of come into his own. It's not like he played at some small program. You know, he played at Kentucky, if I'm not mistaken. And I mean, that goes a long way, you know, just in terms of your approach to the game and everything you bring to it. So he's really starting to take over and be a leader. One of the things that I noticed, again, we'll get to last night's game in a second, but he's really starting to take over more of a leadership role as far as Austin is concerned. And I thought that he stepped back really well when he got his run the other night with San Antonio. And the group that they had out there in terms of Lonnie and DeJounte and Keldon and Mezzi, they all really kind of seem to feed off each other. They're high energy people anyway. They're all super athletic. But there was just a different kind of confidence that showed up, especially offensively. Keldon's still working on becoming a better defender. And there's times where he doesn't quite lock down his guy still at the G League level. But I think part of the battle in terms of, you know, making it to the NBA is the confidence to score. And in Austin, he does play, you know, more of that 3-4 position. He is a big body to play to his nickname. And he's able to throw that around a lot in the G League, especially in the lane, and move his defender a couple inches just to get the right angle, you know, to put the ball up with. And he seemed confident doing that again, you know, at the NBA level. And his size seemed to work for him there too, which is something that's really great to see from a 19-year-old, and how their body measures up against the NBA. He's definitely been spending his time in the weight room, that, you know, with Austin.
Yeah, and one thing I like is that he, I mean, I've talked about patience before, but he seems to have the right attitude, because a lot of guys coming in, you know, coming out of a program like he did and getting selected, you'd expect them to, or that maybe they expect to be playing. And it's having to see guys like Tyler Hero and PJ Washington get big minutes on their teams. But, you know, he said that, you know, that everybody's path is different, and that, you know, that he trusts the process, basically. So I like that. But anyway, before we move on, I did want to ask, let me go back to you, Jonas, on this one. What do you think he can offer the team if he gets, you know, some more time, maybe some consistency with San Antonio that they're not getting right now?
I think that he brings some dog with him, which is something that you don't see. You know, the term has already been used in terms of aggression. You know, you used that one, Michael, but he's got some fight in him. And I think that's really lacking on this team that seems to, you know, it's been a conversation point. Are the, you know, is DeJounte deferring too much to the superstars or the all-stars on the team rather than just taking over when you need to win a game because you're down? And even if you're not fighting to win the game anymore, you should be at least fighting for pride and going hard until it's all zeros on the clock. And that's what Keldon brings. And that's what he can really offer this team down the stretch. You know, whether they're really going to make an actual push for the playoffs or it's just to build momentum into next season, that's going to be one of the most valuable things, because this is not a team right now with a winner's mentality. It seems to me that in San Antonio that it's a team that a group of guys relying on the city name across their chest. It says San Antonio Spurs, and that's supposed to, you know, take you to the playoffs. And Keldon comes from, again, he comes from a program that has success, and that, you know, you understand that you have to continue to build upon that success. Otherwise, you falter. And I think that, you know, I don't pay too much attention to college basketball, but isn't Kentucky kind of running into that similar situation this year where it doesn't matter, you know, what school is across your chest, it's what you bring to it. And Keldon, it shows, you know, he's got that fight where I haven't seen that from anybody else.
And John, do you think, you know, if, like you said, the Express News guys said, if he ends up playing a lot more, where do you think he fits in, and where do you think, what kind of minutes do you think he can carve out?
I feel like he'd probably take more of a Rudy Gay role, honestly.
Exactly.
We're at a point where, look, and I know Spurs Twitter has been, I don't want to turn this into a San Antonio Spurs podcast, like, right. But at the same time, like, I know Spurs Twitter has been trashing a lot of the front office deals lately, and that Rudy Gay contract doesn't look great this year, but it's one of those things, like, they weren't signing anyone else with that money. He's not taking anyone's money. Like, let's relax. But he's also gotten to a point where it's kind of hard to play him. And for some reason, Keldon Johnson gives me a lot of, without the talk back of Steven Jackson, but he gives me a lot of Steven Jackson vibes. Mm-hmm. Like, just the attitude, the grit, even the shot release at sometimes, I just see Jack in him, which is kind of crazy. And that's probably what this team needs at this point, because I feel like if you've got Keldon coming off the bench with these guys like Lonnie and Patty, he probably fits in there better than he does the starting lineup right now. Because I know it's going to be impossible to get Bryn benched until he's completely out of San Antonio. So I don't see why you can't have him there. And the fact that a lot of what he does is high usage and ball handling, it kind of lets Derek White be a little more open to just floating around. But I don't know if that suits him better than being on ball like he has been with that second unit. So it's an interesting fit. Like, we've talked about this on previous Spurs cast. This team has a lot of 6'5 guards that can handle the ball well, and distributing wise, some of them are good, some of them are more offensively gifted, like Lonnie. It's going to be kind of interesting how they mesh everything together. And if there comes out to be, like, if Keldon's more of an asset for someone else in the future, I know people don't want to hear that with DeMar and LaMarcus sitting there. You don't want to build around these guys. I get it. But at some point, you've got to see who meshes and who fits. And it's interesting because with work and everything, I've been able to watch a lot of Charlotte Hornets basketball, and seeing PJ Washington going through the same thing with James Borrego in Charlotte, just – these guys have a different mentality that John Calipari instills with that Kentucky program. And I feel like he's more NBA ready than a lot of these guys that the Spurs have drafted in the past. And we just don't see it yet because he's in Austin dominating these G League guys night in and night out. And he's probably at this point a better NBA prospect than Luka is, which isn't saying anything bad about Luka, but I just think Keldon fits exactly what this team needs now in terms of young, athletic, get your minutes, under low stress situations. You don't have to worry about the playoffs right now. Just go out there and get those reps in, develop, and show them that you've got, because they're going to have to pay you soon enough with all these other guys. Time's just flying by, so earn it now.
Yeah. And I agree with that statement about you know, Luka and success. That's not anything against Luka. It's just that it seems like Kelden was at a program that, and let's just call it what it is, it's a one-and-done program that John Calipari prepares those guys for playing at the next level, and he's not secretive about it. He's, you know, doesn't seem to be ashamed about it, which he shouldn't. He gets those guys ready, and they get drafted. And so, yeah, it's definitely, I mean, I think we saw that recently in their last game. So that was against the Sioux Falls Skyforce, and they lost by 1.100 to 99. But I mean, Kelden was basically almost did enough to get them out of their hole and get them a win. He had 31 points on the night. But anyway, kind of transitioning into that, Austin got off to a slow start, and it seems like they're like digging themselves out of holes all night. And, you know, something Jonas and I were talking about before we kind of went start recording was, you know, Jack on the other side, I mean, and his veteran leadership helped out a lot. And it seems like there were at times where, you know, they were just making sloppy passes, and all those sloppy passes would end up turning into steals and breakaways at the other end. And so, and that's one of the things I think also when you have a young team and they've got a lot of young players, is they're going to make those mistakes. And it's good to see them and leave them out there and try to get themselves out of it, but they just couldn't do it that night. But the guy who's become kind of a favorite, Jeff Ledbetter, probably the oldest guy on the team, ends up almost saving them with all these late threes and free throws, ends up scoring 17 points in 19 minutes. And so he was kind of like one of the other standouts as well. Jonas, one of the guys you just recently talked about, Angel Rodriguez, you wrote about him and at the FIBA qualifiers, I believe. And I think all we saw in him, he had a nice like lob to Chimezi early, and then they kind of like that was it for him. You know, another thing is with Derrick Weatherspoon, that's looking more and more like a steal in the second round. I think we were able to get him because he's just there's so many times where I saw him going like length of the floor or just in transition, and you think, okay, he's going to pass it at some point. He's going to pass it, or they're going to stop him, and he finds a way to get through every time. It's so strange. He just like sidesteps a guy and leaves it. So that was kind of those were kind of some of the takeaways I got. TJ Lawson, I like how his he looks good from deep, and that was I think something that was probably one of your debut posts on Product Spurs and Spurs on 6 was talking about him and him getting an opportunity maybe above Luka. So anyway, like I said, they almost pulled out. They're still like number three in the West, but that was a game they probably should have won because Sioux Falls is you know towards the lower end of the Western Conference standings. And anyway, so let me go to you guys, John. What was your overall thoughts on that game?
I got to watch most of the first half. I really enjoy watching Chimezi try to play center. I think that's someone that I had a lot more hope for getting a guaranteed contract out of a second round guy. And man, he just lacks the slightest bit of touch, because if he had just a little more touch, he'd be so much more effective in and around the basket, especially with his rebounding, with defense. It's so many little things that you can't teach. It's just kind of innate. Because he's always a little bit out of position. He's always just a little over, you know, boxes out on the wrong side, or he's out of reach of a rebound, or he misses a tip, or he's overly aggressive. And it's just, he's one of the more frustrating guys I've watched, because I just want to be like, you know, if you were just 2 inches over here, if you were just a little softer on that shot, like outside of that, I'm not overly stressed about where this team is. I love watching Dedrick Lawson. I feel like that was pretty much a steal for just signing someone in training camp. Kelden obviously was great. Quindary Weatherspoon has kind of, I would really like to see him in summer league next year again with a more open role. I feel like if he can hit a three pointer consistently, that's someone that if Bryn Forbes gets out of your price range, and I know we're all hoping he does, he can probably fill in those minutes somewhere in San Antonio, especially because he brings a little bit more defense, and he's more, he's an older, you know, G League player by certain terms. He's not an NBA vet or anything. This is a guy that played all 4 years in college. So, I'd love to see Galen Robinson get more run, but I know that's me just being biased and everything. But outside of that, hey, they at least they crawled back, and it's good to see Jeff Ledbetter come back from overseas. I thought we lost him for good, and it's obvious that he brings a calming presence to that team, and hopefully he can play many, many more years, because that guy is just a joy to watch.
Definitely. It's like having another coach out there. I mean, yeah. And I know a lot of people say that about him, but he really is like another coach out there. It's just like, you know, it seems like somehow, no matter what, he always finds a way to contribute. Just going to do, you got to probably take a closer look at this. What impressed you, and what do you think they start to work on after this game?
Well, I think it's no surprise that defense has been lacking in Austin, which is really rather a disappointment. Again, when you look at what the team's kind of role is in preparing these players for the next level, because if we're struggling against, you know, defending the G League talent, and when you look at the caliber of player we have up and down that roster, you know, of course your three rookies, but you factor in Drew Eubanks, who's still working his two-way contract down in Austin. You have Mezzi's played, I think, somewhere around 15 to 20 games. And then, of course, you know, you guys brought him up, one of my favorite guys, Dedrick Lawson. The trade for Angel Rodriguez at the end of the year brought over a high-caliber player. He won a title last year with the Grand Valley Vipers in the G League, plays international basketball with Team Puerto Rico. There's a lot of there's just so much up and down in terms of, you know, some veteran leadership comboed in there with youth. And you'd like to see these guys really work on that defense, because you understand that the future is in Austin. And if we already have a hard time watching San Antonio play defense, what does it mean when these guys make it to the next level? So that's what I'd really like to see from them. You know, Quinn is super impressive, and I'm glad you guys are high on him. He's going to be one of those contracts we need to take care of this offseason too. He only signed a 1 year two way contract out of you know, the draft last year, so he can't quite step into that Bryn Forbes role because we have to pay him, and he's been blowing up the G League all season. So what's that going to mean, you know, in terms of advertising? Do you almost leave him down in Austin to not give other teams a better look at him? That's a shame for the player, but hopefully, you know, you hope to be able to use that restricted free agent right to match on a deal and not let him leave.
And I will add real quick, I think that's the most disappointing thing of this Spurs season, is the fact that this team is bad. They're under 500. They look like they're going to miss the playoffs. And these two-way guys, outside of Eubanks, have not even utilized those 45 days properly, which we haven't seen the Spurs do in the past. The fact that Matt Costello and Darian Hilliard and all these other two-way players that they've had in the past have gotten more run than these rookies and Drew Eubanks. I mean, I don't want to see more Eubanks minutes. I'm sorry. That's just, you guys know exactly how I feel on Drew Eubanks. We've seen enough. But the fact that someone like Quinn Derry hasn't been utilized in that role, I know there's a surplus of guards in San Antonio, but you've got these guys for 45 days in the NBA for a reason. Why are you just wasting it on practice time instead of getting these guys like DeMar rest, LaMarcus rest, instead of them actually suffering injuries, and now we're going to have to throw these guys in at the end of the season when there's nothing else to play for? I just think that's a little unSpurs-like to me, and I'm not a big fan of that.
Yeah, and that's really hard, because you're going to have to address some of those things. There's a lot of log jams, especially with at you know, 1 and 2, and then if Rudy's still around, if Marco's still around, they've got to address some of these things. And why even wait to the offseason? Why not look at what these guys have now, actually playing with the Spurs or with the San Antonio Spurs, and seeing where they're at? And I think that's like the best gauge of where they're at and what you can do with them and their future. It seems like I would have loved to see when they're up there and get some minutes, especially like we've seen where DeMar's had to rest and things like that, or even tonight, which we'll talk about in a minute with Lamarcus Aldridge resting. That the two ways, it seems like in the past, you're right, they've done a much better job of getting those guys in, and this year it's just not been there at all. So that is definitely something that it's not good to see, and hopefully, you know, yeah, it depends on which route they're going. Is it still fighting for that AC, or is it, you know, not tanking, but, you know, kind of knowing that you're not going to get there. And I think that that's going to determine exactly what they do as far as personnel for the rest of the season. But going back to like what you said about defense too. I mean, I saw that too. It was Jarrett Jack was, I mean, he had, I think it was like 21 points, but it seemed like every time he shot, he was shooting in space because they had back off of him so much. They were afraid of his penetration. And so every time he had, you know, probably about 2 feet of space at least, if not more, that they're just afraid of him, you know, beating them to the rim and things like that. So they've got to get a little bit better. And then also the bigs did a bad job of help defense. Or a lot of times where I saw them just leave the basket like wide open, it was just like nobody there, and they'd have straight drives. So let's talk about some of these guys a little bit more, the rookies. And obviously, I think everybody kind of knows where we're at with Keldon Johnson. I think we've discussed him in detail. And, you know, we've talked about Quindary, and we're high about it. But let's jump into, I guess, Luka a little bit as we end up transitioning into him being active for tonight. I thought it was funny when I was going through FanDuel lineups and I saw Luka's picture on there and I was like, oh, it kind of threw me off. So what are we seeing out of him so far this season? I think he's averaging about 15 points a game, 7 rebounds. I mean, some of the concerns I had early on where I was just like, he's got to work on his core strength, he's got to work on upper body strength, or else he's going to get beat up against power forwards. And he's done a little bit better, but he still has his speed and things like that. But those are definitely still some things he needs to work on. John, what do you see out of him, and what do you see realistically? And I know, again, he's another guy that a lot of people are excited about, but a lot of times I'm just like, okay, we'll just temper the expectations a little bit, let him take his time to develop. And because, I mean, he is a young guy, and he did play just internationally. And so playing against a different level of competition, he's going to need that time.
Yeah, I remember one of the things in the draft was his ability to put the ball on the floor, his size and his athleticism for you know, being a power forward, and that the shooting really wasn't great. It just needed to be refined a little bit. But I would like to see him a little bit better defensively. I'd like to see him a little more defending on the perimeter, because he's a lot faster than I anticipated. And, you know, watching the G League for this long, the G League's always a faster game than the NBA. These guys are a lot more athletic. They might not be as skilled shooting wise, but I mean, these guys are some of the best penetrators and dishers and dunkers that you've ever seen, that just don't have that ability to score at the NBA level. And the fact that Luka can even keep up with some of them, the fact that he can drive on them and do kinds of moves that I would expect a point guard to pull off at his size is kind of just mind numbing to me. I seriously doubt he gets any run tonight, which is kind of disappointing, because I know we all got excited when he got called up with the news about LaMarcus being out. But I feel like there's an outside chance that he gets some run if it's a blowout either way. And I feel like he's another one that you just want to see where his game is at compared to the NBA level, compared to maybe a bench NBA player that has a similar kind of profile. And it's something that he pairs great with Jakob. If he can be that kind of a stretch four, he pairs great with Jakob. And if he can develop well, he takes over LaMarcus's role. If LaMarcus decides to move on at the end of next year or this summer, whatever the deal is with them, it's just, yeah, he needs to get stronger. He needs to get a little bit more physical in the paint, but he's a lot further along. Another one that he's a lot further along than I anticipated for this stage in his career.
Janice, what have you seen so far as far as progression on Luka?
I mean, he's really come a long, long way from opening night, especially. You know, one of the things that I've really liked from Luka is he's picked up being more aggressive. And again, like, that's one of the biggest things lacking in San Antonio for me. Again, when you talk about developing these guys and getting them ready for the next level, is do you want to go out there and compete? Are you out there to give it your all? And at, there were at times where, you know, especially early on, I wondered if it was because of just his experience overseas, where he was afraid to take over a game and really use his size to his advantage, take the open shot. Did he not feel confident that in a system in America yet? And he's really come into his own. You were seeing him attack the rim a lot more. You know, he's putting up a highlight reel dunk nearly every game. He's becoming more comfortable from three, shooting 31% right now on the season. I think that the biggest knock on him still yet, you know, to your point, John, is his lack of defense at this point. And that's really going to come with size as he starts to add mass. And that's going to, and another thing that's going to affect his game as he starts to really grow into that 6'10" frame is his touch. You know, he's really lacked a lot of touch, like you guys mentioned about Chemezi, around the rim. His seems too light, where some, at times Chemezi feels like he almost gives it too much. Luka, it seems like he's not giving it enough. And so that's going to be something that comes into his own, and it's going to evolve as he starts to add mass. You know, a lighter touch is still going to work because there's just more muscle behind it, pushing it, you know, pushing the ball. So he's going to grow into his own really well. The one major concerning thing for me is that he's still averaging about 3.5 turnovers per game. He's got solid handles, again, for his size, and especially for the position of a 4-5 hybrid. But he's just got to cover up and protect a little bit more, especially when in the paint, because they're going to eat that alive at the next level if he's not really holding onto that ball or he tries to go up with one hand. They'll take advantage of that at the NBA level. So while I'm kind of glad that he's getting, you know, time tonight, at least with the team, I think I agree with you, John. It's going to take a blowout either way for him to really see the court. Because I think tonight's more about the mental element. This is how we as a Spurs prepare for playing a basketball game. This is how you prepare for a game on the road. If you go back earlier this season, I think Keldon's first call up action was on the road as well. And that's a point of difficulty for the parent club, you know, over the last couple of seasons has been performing on the road. So it's great that they're kind of introducing these guys to that process early on in their minutes in their time with the team. I think that's what's going to take as far as him seeing the court. I don't think he's going to do it, but it would be interesting to see a little Luka versus Luka. It would be interesting. If he's out there, Doncic isn't out there. Let's just put it that way. But I would still like to see it happen.
I still remember Dallas fans at the night of the draft on Twitter congratulating Spurs fans for drafting the second best Luka. So it's going to be a lot of talk if he gets in the game. But I mean, I think I'm right in line with the rest of you guys. I mean, against some of the newer type of lines like Houston, where you've got like PJ Tucker at center, okay, yeah, he'll be fine, right? But I can just see him like match up against Montrezl Harrell and get totally obliterated, you know, so that's the kind of thing where I'm just like, okay, he needs to work on you know, that upper body strength a little bit more, work on a few things. But you're right. I mean, when I looked at his numbers, and then there's been some games where he just is really a standout and really shows a lot more. And a lot of times where I'll see him drive all the way from, you know, the perimeter inside and finish and things like that. And he's had like close to a block per game, which is more than I anticipated. So, you know, there's some good stuff there, and I just want to see more of it. Like you guys said, I mean, I can see maybe them putting him in there like the last 2 minutes of the game or something, if it's like, you know, out of hand or whatever. But I think a lot of people might be upset on Twitter after the game. But, you know, for him to get there and practice with the guys and actually be on the bench with them, I think there's also some positives there. You know, that it's not exactly the same as playing time, but it'll be good for him.
Right. I mean, the biggest thing against him is mass right now. You know, he just doesn't have the size, and that just takes time. You know, that's going to take this whole summer of just a solid lift program, and we'll see how he comes back in the fall.
Yeah, definitely. That'll be good, especially if he has that full summer and gets to play summer league and does get to stay in the gym a little bit. That'll be good for him. But wrapping up right now, Austin is in third place in the West. They've got the Clippers. I was going to say Clippers coming up in their next game. That's another team that's a little lower in the standings, so they really need to kind of take care of that game if they want to avoid slipping. But it's looking like they've got, you know, pretty firm hold on that third spot. And, you know, so they're probably headed for the postseason. I think I can't really see them slipping too far. I think Jonas, you were saying something about them, that even like the legends right now who are below them have a spot currently.
Yeah, I mean, the G League format, right, is 12 teams make it. So the top six from either conference are pretty set in it. If you look at our division, you know, we're leading the Legends now by six games after our win last night. It was just, I think, you know, 5.5. But we're not ahead of them. We're ahead of them by 2.5. There's six games out of first place in the division where we're a little bit closer to Salt Lake City at 3.5 with last night's loss. I'd like to see them really kind of close that and take the division and really, I don't think that there's a point that now where you'd fall out of playoff standing because you'd have to, I mean, we'd have to really drop it. Last team in the playoffs right now is the Legends at 19-18. We're well above 500, well, not well above 500, but we're 21-15 right now. So I don't really see us dipping down below 500. The only thing that could really impact that playoff picture is how much run are the young guys going to get at the next level in the NBA. If we do decide to go with the youth movement at the San Antonio level, and you're going to take away your top scorers in terms of Keldon, who's averaging, you know, 20 a night, Lucas, who's adding 15 a night, Mezzi, who's averaging about, you know, 19 to 20 a night, that's a lot of firepower and that's a lot of size. I don't see this team really contending, and they might be able to hang on to the playoffs, but I don't see them going in strong. If you're talking about, you know, you're being led most of the way by a Galen Robinson and a Dedrick Lawson, those guys will play their heart out because they are playing for another opportunity. They're not on contracts with this franchise. You know, so they're hoping just to get picked up by anybody in the off season, but Quindary Weatherspoon is going to, you know, definitely go be down in San Antonio in Austin for the majority of the time because he's a two-way contract. Once we enter the playoffs, he's not going to be able to spend any time with the parent club. Same with Drew Eubanks. So they will have a little bit of, you know, some star power going into the playoff picture, but how much we fall or drop, it's just going to depend on how not only the Spurs, but, you know, the Mavericks and everybody else utilize their G League rosters in terms of contending or maintaining seeding at the NBA level.
I think we'll get to see a lot of Jeff Ledbetter, so there's that.
Matt Bonner will be happy.
Yeah. All right, guys, before we put wraps on this one, any last things you want to discuss or mention?
Yeah, I think the only other thing about Austin making the playoffs is we're reaching that time of year again where people are like, hey, I got to go make some money. Overseas starts calling and they're gone. So I'll be interested to see if Jeff Ledbetter stays around this time. But also guys like Jordan Green, Dedrick Lawson especially Jordan Green. I mean, you know, that's a Forever Toros podcast favorite around here. You know, these are guys that always end up overseas somehow or, you know, take their vacation somewhere, go play in Puerto Rico, go play in Thailand or something for a few months and come back. So hopefully you don't lose too many of those and they can make a nice little playoff run because, it'd be nice to see someone make the playoffs out of this organization this year. So
for sure.
Yeah, that's definitely something to look out for. I've seen that, you know, the past several years where they end up losing somebody, and usually a contributor, and just because the G League really can't compete with a lot of that those overseas salaries. Those are just, that's how a lot of these guys, you know, make their money, is they're using the G League as a way to get, you know, to the next level, but they're not paying their bills based on the G League. So that makes right. it really tough. I know that the NBA and G League have really worked on trying to work with that a little bit more, but they're not there just yet. So anyway, make sure for more Austin Spurs content. Jonas is posting weekly on Product Spurs and Spurs on Six. If you're not familiar, we have a page on Product Spurs called Spurs on Six. Now you can go to spursonsix.com and that'll take you to that page. But it's also being promoted on Product Spurs. So you can check all of that stuff out there. And then we've got John is on Twitter at by John Diaz. And then Jonas is, I always do this in the opposite way, Jonas. Is it Jarklonus?
It is. It's Jarklonus.
Whenever I'm typing it, I'm like, I always do it in the reverse. So it's Jarklonus on Twitter, just to play on his name there. We're going to try to do this every 2 weeks and, you know, just keep it going as they enter the playoffs. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.